Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is December 8th, 2010. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd, and our topic is, as always, Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight with our guest, Ms. Rhonda Jackson, and she's going to let us know a little bit about how her life was growing up. She lived a little bit on the streets and into drugs and had four children. Two of them are deceased now. She's going to let us know her story about how that happened, and we will get right with her in just a minute. Let me welcome Boyd to the show.
Yeah, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. We're happy to have our viewers every Wednesday like we always do. And without mentioning, we're going to turn the mic over to Ms. Jackson and for her to formally introduce herself.
Hi, how you doing? My name is Rhonda Jackson, Evangelist Jackson, also known as. How you doing?
Oh, everybody's great, Ms. Jackson.
Great. That's nice. I was asked to call tonight because I want to be a part of the movement. Yes, sir?
Yeah, we're definitely glad that you agreed to be on the radio show tonight to, spread your message and let the viewers know as well that you have also been hurt in the line of fire due to these gangs, drugs, and violence out here in the streets.
Oh, yes, absolutely. My son, which is so dear to me, got killed March the 21st, 2007. He was gunned down fatally, got shot three times, once in the back. He got shot in the leg, and he got shot in the back of the head. As a matter of fact, he took off work that day to go see his friend in the hospital. And on his way home from his auntie's house that day, about three blocks from where he lived, he got killed, and the killer's never been found. So it's been a real big tragic for our family, and ever since then, my heart has been on trying to reach the youth so that we can save more lives right here, especially right here in the city of Detroit.
Yes, indeed, and I want to just say, we here at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show would like to send our condolences to you and your family for the loss of your two loved ones. And definitely have to reach out and teach these youth that the streets definitely don't love you back. And we definitely, you will definitely reap what you sowed out here, So
exactly.
We have to give them a choice. We have to start teaching them ownership and stop picking up guns and start picking up an ink pen and a pencil and a piece of paper and trying to learn something. That's
absolutely
the mission. Because if you take a life, you can't get that life back. But if you go steal a man's coat, you can replace that. But you
absolutely
can't replace a fight. That's something you can't do.
No, that's right. But and also we got to make these our young people be a little bit more vigilant as far as being aware of their surroundings. My son had a bad habit with walking, out at night, with his headphones, iPod, or whatever they want to call it, over his ears and not watching, thinking that nothing would be, that nothing would happen to him. As a matter of fact, they found his iPod laying right next to him, when he got killed. So they need to watch a little more and be more aware of their surroundings. as well, you know, because although they might not be out there trying to get in trouble, you know, there's people out there that's, you know, just waiting on them, you know, waiting to devour them, you know, and they got to be a little bit more watchful.
Right. I'm going to pass the mic over to Ms. Lucinda, and she will take over from here.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show, Rhonda. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be on it.
You have a very interesting story and a story that needs to be told. You know, you have a lot of experience to share with others and a lot of sympathy with a lot of other people that have gone through the same thing as far as losing a child on the streets. Let's go back a little bit to when you were younger. You were born in Alabama, and you moved to Detroit when you were 2 years old?
Yes,
is that correct? Okay.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your life growing up, and then you said, I think when you were a teenager, you got involved in drugs in the streets. So tell us a little bit about your life growing up and kind of what led to that part of your life.
Well, actually, when I was a teenager, I wasn't, you know, drugs and alcohol, you know, it was all around me, but I didn't really touch anything until I was probably about 20 years old. I mean, really got off into drinking, and I think I was like maybe 22 when I got involved with drugs, you know, crack cocaine, as a matter of fact. That's why I want to be so involved in the young people's lives today, because it didn't just start when my son got killed. You know, this goes all the way back when I was a youngster, you know, with low self-esteem, dropping out of school, getting married at a young age, having children at a young age, you know, and then getting involved with drugs. So, you know, bad marriage, being abused. So I really have a heck of a story, but I'm proud of my story, because today, within the past 13, 14 years, you know, I have, you know, my life has changed. So Jesus Christ came into my heart, and that was it, you know. And I've been clean. I've been sober, gainfully employed, church leader, evangelist, you know, it all. And I want to allow people to understand that although you may go through those tragedies and all of those issues in your life, that you could come out of them as well.
Right. Well, God allows us, or you know, I guess He does allow us to go through these things in life so that we can, you know, come out of it and be able to share our lives with others and help others through the same situation.
Absolutely.
I just want the listeners to understand and maybe you can shed some light on your experiences. As you grew up, what do you think led to low self-esteem? You know, we know that a lot of girls have low self-esteem as teenagers, but we don't realize how many boys do as well, and how they turn to the streets and other things to make them feel better. What can you tell us about that, about you or just in general?
Yes, well, absolutely. You know, I wrote a book. As a matter of fact, I was just talking to one of my publishers today about getting it out in January. And it's called Fresh Meat for the Lady's Soul. And what this book is about is allowing especially women to understand that, we could overcome anything and we need God in our lives. We don't start out knowing the Word of God. This is my opinion. You know, we really don't know who we are, and people can tell us anything. Low self-esteem was my biggest problem growing up, and it's not something that's inherited. It's definitely something that's nurtured, what we call in my, I'm a psychology major, and we call nurture, which is environment, which is learned behavior. You know, it's what people say we are. It's how people make us feel, even in our own households, you know. And, you know, growing up and, you know, you don't feel like you're attractive, and then a lot of other people are telling you that you're not, and you're not feeling worthy of anything. And, you're not even feeling smart, you know, that can kind of, you know, put a damper, a big damper on your esteem. And that's what happened to me. You know, I had low self-esteem, and low self-esteem brought on fear. It kept me alone a lot. I couldn't stand to be around women that I thought were, you know, attractive, you know. And but deep down inside, I liked a lot of attention. And when I didn't get that attention, I would my esteem would be shot, you know. So the esteem led to a lot of things, you know, promiscuity, dropping out of school, you know, getting married at a young age because someone told me that they loved me. My ex-husband was a heroin addict. And it was all about low self-esteem, you know. And I needed to go through what I went through as far as the drugs and everything like that. Believe me, I don't want anybody else going through it. But for me, I needed to go through that period in my life so I could come out of that and allow God in my life for me to understand who I am. And now I feel I am the most beautiful person in the world, inside out, you know. My confidence has built, you know, my low self-esteem has lifted considerably.
Right. Yeah, when we know that we're loved and we're special for just who we are, and it doesn't matter what anybody else says or thinks. But, you know, growing up, it's amazing how the remarks of other kids can have on you, because
yes.
You know, you could be a good singer and somebody might tell you, you know, you sing terrible, and you might believe it, you know, and then you don't continue. Or, you know, you could be pretty and somebody says you're ugly, and, you know, or this and that, or you're fat, or you're too this, or you're too that, and you believe it, and so then, you know, you have low self-esteem. Or another one that people do all the time and say, oh, you're so stupid. You know,
yeah.
I hear that all the time, and it's like, you know, there's a lot of bright kids that are being called stupid, and they start believing it. And then
mm-hmm.
they, you know, look for that attention in the wrong places again.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it is out there in the streets with, you know, the gangs and people that make them feel a little more
right.
wanted.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's not just the kids in the streets, you know. You know, you got some children out there, you know, with parents that are, you know, verbally abusing them, you know, making them feel, you know, worthless.
Well,
so,
I've heard parents,
you know, it's in the
call
home.
Their kids stupid. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, so that low self-esteem had a lot to do, especially with young women, you know, young ladies. It got a lot to do with
right.
everything, and even suicide. I have heard of young girls, you know, attempting or have committed suicide because, you know, they did not feel worthy, you know, of anything. You know, they just
right.
felt that they were lost and nobody loved them. And when somebody finally did tell them that they loved them, which most likely would be another, would be a male. And then when
right.
that male betray them, you know, it's a heartbreaker. I've been through all of that. But even as an adult, you know, even as a Christian woman, I have been through some things. But the only thing now is that because I know I have God in my life, you know, things are different. I know that I can come out of anything. And can't nobody tell me anything either. And so that's what my aim is. I go out here and I evangelize and allow young kids to understand that God loves them if anybody else don't, you know.
And when you finally found God again in your life, who was the one that helped you realize that, or helped you back, you know, to God?
You know, you always felt the presence of God in my life. I knew of God, but I really didn't know God until 2003. I was the type of person that went from church to church, really basically only going to hear a choir. And I belong to Up From The World Ministries, where I have a leader's position in that ministry as well. And my pastor's name, Eric Wilkerson, in Detroit, here on Puritan in Livernois. And when I went to that church, there was no choir. It was an up-and-coming ministry. And I was able to finally hear a pastor teach. There was no choir or anything. He stood up there, and he taught exactly what that word said. And from that point on, I had started studying and meditating on the Word of God, you know, I mean, almost every day, you know. And Pastor Wilkerson, you know, that is the man that God chose to lead me in the world, and I'm still with the ministry today. It's been 8 years. So, you know, it's a spiritual thing, you know, the right spirit. You got to have that right spirit, you know.
Right.
We got a lot of spirits, but it got to be the right spirit.
Definitely. And what we always remind people, too, is that God is always with us in our lives. It's us that leave him or are not close to him. So, you know, when you look for him and ask for him, he's there.
Exactly. And you know what I do? You know, I like to allow children to understand that I've been there. And I don't try to go with all of this deep theology and throw the Bible in their face the first time I talk to them. You know,
right.
I want to kind of to be with them, go heart to heart with them, you know, to reach them and, you know, allow them to understand that I'm just like them. I'm a human being, even though I'm a Christian, even though I'm an evangelist, you know, that and even though God brought me through all of this and I'm on a different level in my life now, that I'm still human, you know, and that's how
definitely.
I reach them. That's how I reach them. And that's how I reach even on Facebook. You know, I reach a lot of young kids on Facebook. I get a lot of, you know, inboxes every day from young people telling me how much I inspire them. You know, they know that I'm almost 50 years old. Well, I'll be 48. But they can relate to me because I try to relate to them. I don't point fingers. I don't tell them what they should not do. I just try to tell them how not to do something and let them know that I've been in the same position they've been. You know.
So. Right, and letting them know that they have options and choices, and to, you know, give them the tools to let them know how to make the right choices.
Exactly, and I feel that the Streets Don't Love Your Back movement really got what it takes to do that, and that's the type of movement that I want to be a part of.
Well, thank you. You know, we also, you know, started this movement because we've both gone through a lot of really rough life experiences, and we've both been able to, you know, change our lives and have God in our lives and have, you know, just the experiences, I guess, to give back to, you know, the children and the adults, you know. I mean, we just want to be able to put the word out there, let people know what's right and what's wrong, and help people. And, you know, like I said, give them the tools to make the right decisions and the right choices in life.
Absolutely.
There's so many good things, you know, that you can do in life. And you know, it's all a matter of what you want to do with your life and if you want to change your life, because, you know, you could be out there doing wrong, and there's so many things that you could do. You know, there's, like, leaders of the gangs out here that are good leaders, and they're smart, and they're, you know, adventurous. What if they could turn the bad things that they're doing and lead a group in a positive direction? You know, they just totally never knew that they had that choice.
Exactly.
Because they are leaders in that, you know, and there only so many of them are leaders, but the leaders, you know, are leading them in the wrong direction, because that's probably the only thing they know.
Exactly.
But if they knew that they had that option, that they could, you know, we could have so many more positive things going on with the youngsters and the adults if they knew how to change it to positive.
Exactly. And it all starts with us. You know, if more people just, you know, stop trying to hide where they've been and come out and give their testimony and let people know where they've been. You know, I believe we could help more kids. And one of the examples is my pastor. My pastor used to be one of the biggest drug dealers, you know, in the South, you know, but now he's one, you know, a fantastic teacher. Not only that, but he's also a fantastic businessman as well. So, you know, he took that, you know, his smarts, his intelligence in that, and put it in something positive, and he's just reaching all kind of people, especially young people. I have never been to a church where I actually just look around me and see young people, teenagers actually, I mean, with their mouth wide open, actually listening to the pastor. Most churches I go to, the kids are asleep. But the kids in my church are listening to my pastor because he's been through it. I'm sorry. You know, I have a bad sinus problem, and sometimes it makes me hoarse. So if I'm sounding hoarse, please forgive me.
It's okay. Do you need a drink of water?
No, I'm okay. I'm okay.
I'm going to hand the mic over to Boyd for just a minute.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Jackson. Yeah, I've been listening to everything, and, you know, that's a great thing when, you know, God can change any individual to start doing the positive things. Like I tell anybody, you know, each one teach one, and if you know right from wrong, it's your job to teach another individual right from wrong as well.
Absolutely.
So I really, you know, agree with that, what you said, and a lot of people, you know, don't take time out to pass the message on like they should because they're so caught up into the street life or whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That it's a better way than the negativity all the time, you know? So,
exactly.
We definitely thank you, you know, thank you, you know, being involved with the movement, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, always. You know, definitely always. And I also want to just say this thing here is that, you know, one of the things that I make it a point to do is to allow the children that have failed in some areas in their lives, you know, dealing with their issues and their flaws. You know, one of the things that I do is allow them to understand that it's okay. You know, you're not the worst in the world. You're not a bad person, and everything could be turned around. And I just, you know, so many people are pointing fingers at them and saying, you did this wrong, you did that wrong. We want to stop pointing at them, allowing them to understand the things that they are doing right, and let them know that there's always another chance for them. You know,
right,
encouraging.
Exactly.
I'm about encouraging.
And like you said, you know, you came from the streets of doing wrong and was healed from a lot of things you was doing. And I think a lot of people forget that, you know, the Creator took his message to the street, you know?
Yeah.
His message was to save the wicked. His message was to save, you know, I mean, the robber, the whore, the prostitute, you know, the thief, you know what I mean, the unholy. That was his mission, you know?
Yeah.
And I tell people all the time, you know, it's good that you're blessed to go to college, and it's good that you got passed me down money from your family that done worked all their life. But the kicking part about that, you ain't worked all your life. You feel me?
Exactly. Yes.
You don't know the first thing about being in the streets, the lights off, you know, food ain't got that, Holly. You know what I mean? Kids crying. You know, we got to find a way to get this rent paid. You feel me?
Right.
So I'm not, like I tell people, I'm not knocking you because your family worked hard and gave you pass me down money. But that's the brother or sister God ain't looking at to be in his pulpit. You feel me?
Yeah.
He's looking at the man or the woman that has been through the most gruesomest thing in the game where they can say, hey, look where he brought me from or look where he brought her from. You feel me? So that's the real of it all, you know, when it all boils down to the end of the day, you know. You ain't looking for the college man with no 10 degrees, you feel me?
Absolutely.
It's nothing you can tell his people to bring his people close to him. You know what I mean? It's great that he blessed you with all them degrees. But he wants the man or the woman who's done been there and that can say, hey, look where he brought me from. And at the same time, people know that when you bring in that message to them and that testimony, it's all the way real because they seen you in the Murray clay. They seen you, you know what I mean, out there on edge. They seen you about to jump off the bridge. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I always like to specify that, you know what I mean? Because so many people think it's about just, you know, jumping up and down. That ain't the mission, man, because that ain't what he about, you know?
That's right. That is right. And Mr. Boyd, I'm so glad you brought that up about the degrees. Like I said, I'm a psych major and an English major at Lawrence Tech University where I work. And I go to school, you know, if I choose to this semester, if I don't, one or two classes here. But I love writing. and I love trying to build youth programs and, you know, of that nature. And people tell me all the time, well, you know, how long is it going to take you to get your degree? I said, don't worry about it, because the degree is not what I'm depending on to make me successful. You know, I'm depending
right.
on God to make me successful and what I can do to help other people. You know, that's going to
right.
make me successful.
Right. And you told him right, because the degree is beautiful, but to bring people towards God, you know, he didn't say go to school and get no degree to bring his people towards him. He
Absolutely.
Said, spread his message among my people, that my people may hear my message and see the change that I've made within you. That's
Absolutely.
The bottom line.
Absolutely.
I don't want to get the preacher tonight. Excuse me.
No, you're good. Oh, you're good. You
hey,
are
girl,
good.
Hey, I keep it going. You hear me? And
right,
I'll
but you are good.
I break it down from A to Z. You feel me?
Right,
yeah.
right.
See,
well,
I was raised on the streets of Detroit, too.
Yeah, that's what
that's
I was. You come from Detroit.
Yeah, I was raised in the Black Bottom, sister.
Oh, okay. And when you say Black Bottom, you talk about around maybe like the Erskine area, Mac.
Yes, Leland, yes. Rappel, Erskine, talking about Brewster Project.
Oh,
all
yeah.
All through there. Yeah, that's where
exactly.
my family comes from, all their life. And,
right.
You know, after that, you know, we moved over on Gallister Street, you know, when I was like 2, you know?
Okay.
I got to see Garfield and Forest over there, you know?
Right,
yeah.
right.
And that's where the Black Bottoms, too, up in that area. Then at 9 years old, I moved over on Van Dyke and Harper, you know?
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then
I was raised. I'm sorry.
Pearls, et cetera.
Okay. Well, I was, like, raised around, you know, them well-known areas, Dexter, Linwood, and in that
oh,
area
yeah.
there.
You was over there by Butcher now.
Yeah, exactly,
yeah.
absolutely.
Dexter, Linwood.
Dexter, Linwood, 14th, and all 12th Street,
yeah.
all that area.
Right, yeah, you was over there by Butch Jones and now.
Butch Jones, and as a matter of fact, my
yeah.
ex-husband.
Young Boys Incorporated.
Yeah, yeah. My ex-husband, he knew Butch Jones. You know, because my
right, yeah,
ex-husband used
yeah,
to sell drugs,
they,
too.
Right, that was their turf over there.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, you,
and at that time, I wasn't. Right, and at that time, I wasn't on drugs. My ex-husband was, and I couldn't understand, you know, and that's another thing that God would do. You know, when other people are suffering from these addictions and you're pointing fingers and you're saying how people can do this and how you can do that, well, God is turning around and let you see how easy it is,
right.
you know, for you to get addicted and be on drugs. You know, nobody wants to be on drugs, Rob. Nobody.
No.
But you know, we just get caught up.
Right. We get caught up and then, you know, a lot of people get caught up being curious George, you know, because their spouse might be doing it, you know, and I talk about that too, about how guys, you know, push drugs in women's face, you know, and,
yeah.
and a woman use drugs, but a man using drugs and she thinking that's all good. And
mm-hmm.
you know, like I say the first time, free. You can have all that. Here, take
exactly.
that. That's all you. But
all right.
then when that monkey get on your back, ain't nothing free then. You still
no,
selling the house
no.
and all, yourself and everything. Because you got
right.
to get it.
It's all about hustling then.
Right. You
it's all
get
about
it.
Hustling.
You can't knock at the milk chute unless
right.
you get that bread.
Exactly.
So
absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, girl, you know, we definitely done been there, you know what I mean? Yeah, my book,
right.
Just Don't Love You Back, you know, that's the book I wrote about my life growing up in the city of Detroit, you know?
Right.
All my family
you know what?
To live.
Well, I'm going to tell you, every time I go on the site, the movement site,
mm-hmm.
I always say tomorrow. As a matter of fact, I was telling my sister tonight that I was going to be talking to you. And I'm going to go. I don't have the book, but there's a Borders bookstore. Is it at Borders?
Yeah, it's at Borders, but you would have to go there and tell them, and then they would have to send it to that store.
Okay.
But do you stay on the west side?
Well, I live in Oak Park now.
Oh, you right at Oak Park. Well, you can go to Greenfield Plaza, right?
Right, right.
And it's on the first floor. It's a place called Harlem World. On the first floor, Harlem World Books and Videos. And his name is Ice. He carried a book there. And he carried the soundtrack.
Okay, I would definitely get that book. I am very interested in, you know, in getting in. Did you write any more books?
Yeah, I got another book coming that my wife is working on for me entitled Never Hit a Woman.
Never Hit a Woman. That's what I was getting ready to say. I didn't know whether it was already out or it was in the making. Okay.
Yeah, my queen taking care of that. Everybody is. Every woman wants that book out. You know what I mean? I get a lot of Facebook information with when that book coming out, you know?
Okay.
But
yeah, you got a beautiful wife. Very beautiful. She's very beautiful.
Yeah, she's something else. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
you know?
Very beautiful. Right.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we are going to release the Never Hit a Woman on ebook first. So all my ebook readers, they'll be able to just buy it and download it right there, you know, on their computer,
Okay. That's wonderful.
That should be out, you know, by next month, by January, you know. The wife finishing up the last-minute touches, and it's been in the makings, you know. It's been pushed back, but it's so many women that's saying, when that book coming out. So January, it'll definitely be out, and she'll definitely let me know the release date, and people ain't got to wait for nothing. Once you say it's there, only thing y'all got to do is just log on and buy the ebook, download it straight to your computer, and let's get it on, you know?
Okay, that sounds good. That's, I would definitely support you, and please definitely be looking out for mine. And I wrote a book concerning my son's death, too, and it's on forgiveness. Even though I don't know who the killers are, you know, it the book is about forgiveness. And
that's
even
great.
Forgiving people that society says you're not supposed to forgive. So I really appreciate being on your show. I just got up work, and I got up at 11, and I said, on my way home, I said, by the time I get in front of the house, it'll be 11:30, and it was, and I was sitting in the car talking to you on the phone.
Well, we're definitely glad that you came to the movement. And another thing we would definitely like for you to do, too, since you're right there in the city of Detroit, we would like to send you some of our literature to pass out at your church, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah, I travel everywhere, and I do speaking engagements and everything, too. So if anybody want to bring me down there to do any speaking in the area, you know, I would love that as well. And I was just honored in May. I was honored and right there in the hometown at the Child H. Wright Afro-American History Museum on East Warren. So the book is in the museum for the rest of my life, you know what I mean? Way up there.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
That
so,
is,
you know,
so wonderful.
To the city, you know?
That is wonderful. And also, you know, keep me posted on that that 50-city tour that you were planning.
Right, yeah, we definitely are going to put that together. And my missus, you know, and me and a few of my people, we are talking to people. So if you know any sponsors as well, you know, you can let them know that we're putting that 011 50 City Tour together, you know, where we can definitely get out there and get that going and get things on the ball, because, like I say, it's all about each one teach one, and we definitely must, you know, enlighten our children that there's more things to do besides drugs, violence, and gangs, and, you know, running around here tripping, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I tell people all the time, why you on Facebook cussing and arguing back and forth with your family members or just people you don't know, you need to be on here trying to find out, how can I start my own home-based business? You feel me?
That's
why
right.
You complaining ain't no jobs, you know?
Exactly.
It might not be no jobs, but it's about ownership, brother and sister. It's about getting out here, getting on this internet. It don't cost you nothing to click up your PayPal account and sell shirts, hats, ties, whatever you feel you want to sell, because this thing go all the way around the world, places you'll never even go. You know?
Exactly.
So it don't make sense for people to sit around and say, oh, there ain't no job. Well, you can't wait for the government to give you no job, brother.
That's right.
I mean, the job is sitting right in your face every day that you're on that Facebook arguing at people.
Right.
That's the job. The job is
absolutely. That's right.
I mean, the job is sitting there.
It's sitting there. Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
If you can argue all day on Facebook and MySpace and all these different places, and, you know, you can put you up a PayPal account and sell anything you feel you want to sell. You feel me?
That's right. That's
everybody,
right.
Everybody buys something. Everybody likes something.
That's right.
You feel
that
me?
Is so correct.
And all the thing you got to do is shut your computer down and you can keep it up all night. When you wake up, all the thing you got to do is check your money account.
Exactly.
And you worried about the government. I don't care who in the White House. I don't care who the governor is or none of that. Wild boy don't keep getting paid.
That's
I don't
right.
care what they're doing. Cause
exactly.
It don't affect me.
And when
you know
everybody
what I mean?
Got to crying, talking about all the Republicans, I say, I don't care nothing about that. I got a God that's bigger than that, baby. Who cares?
Thanks.
You
right.
know, I'm doing okay this far. I'm going to keep on. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be better. You know, so I'm not even
right.
worried about this economy. It don't even move me.
Right. And while you sitting up here, they worried about all the wrong things, but they'll get on Facebook and argue with people they don't even know. If you're doing all that arguing, you need to be clicking your PayPal account, telling these people, hey, look what I'm selling. I'm selling juju
exactly.
beans. If you got juju beans in your country, you might want to eat
right.
some of these. You
exactly.
know, I bag them and mail them off.
Exactly.
You feel me?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me going, girl. You know
right, but
that.
That's
I'll
the same thing
going.
I've been thinking. Yeah, that's
yeah,
exactly what they do.
Yeah, you on here arguing all day long, man. All that arguing you doing, you can be done started your PayPal account, and you can, hey, promote yourself all the way around the world. It don't make sense how people say, ain't no jobs, this, that, and the. Okay, it might not be no jobs, because, you know, when a person own their own company, they can give you a pink slip anytime.
Exactly.
But if you start your own business on the Internet, can't nobody give you no pink slip but yourself and God.
There you go.
Period.
I appreciate that. I do.
I mean,
I've been trying to tell people about that for the longest.
Yeah, that is the bottom line, man.
That's right.
All that
and I'm not
complaining they doing.
And I'm not going to worry about no retirement fund either.
Right.
I am.
You're,
retirement fund 401k. I'm not worried about that mess.
Yeah, you got your retirement fund. Hey, whenever you feel you want to retire, you feel
there,
me?
Hey, there you go. That's right. That is just, that is right.
You ain't got to wait on no paycheck, no nothing. You're controlling your own dough. So it
that's
don't
right.
make sense for you to run around here tripping all day long and you got a computer in the front of your face and
mm-hmm.
you ain't making no money. It's
right.
a problem. It's
mm.
a problem.
Yeah, it is.
If
it's
you
a big
got a computer
problem.
In your house, if you got a computer in your house and you ain't got no job and you complaining about a job, you done lost your morals.
That's
it's
right.
a problem. Why
that's
you
right.
ain't on there with a home-based business?
That's right.
It's a problem up in your crib somewhere.
Right.
Anybody
well,
in America that got a computer that ain't got no regular job they go to and punch 9 to 5 or 24 hours a day, you need to be using your computer for making money.
Exactly. And also, if you got a job, you need to be trying to figure out how you're going to get your own thing started. You know, because I'm not going to be working for. I'm going to be my own. You just watch. I plan on having my own thing. I'm not going to be working for anybody. You know.
And that's the problem. Even if you got a regular job, you work that job until you're able to sit down.
Until you're able. That's right.
Able to maintain your own thing, and you got a certain amount of bread coming in.
Exactly. Exactly.
See, that's the bottom line. So that's why
exactly.
I say on the road, I teach ownership.
Mhm. Yeah.
Right. It's a necessary.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Miss Jackson, it's good.
Wonderful.
I'm going to turn the mic over for a minute because, girl, I get rolling when it comes to that ownership.
Right.
I don't think nobody should be complaining about no job if you got a computer in your crib.
Right.
All right, Rhonda, we're going to do a quick commercial and then we'll be right back.
All righty.
you take yourself to death. There's paranoia that comes in. I don't even know how to explain it. You just sit in the bathroom in the mirror with tweezers, just digging at something that's not even there, and you just keep digging and digging and digging, and you just eat your face up. It's horrible. My name is Chauncey. I'm 19 years old. I'm from Chandler, Arizona. I started doing meth when I was 14. Because of meth and because of the people that I hung out with and the world that revolves around it. I have herpes, I've had gonorrhea, I've had chlamydia, HPV, hepatitis C. There's more than just an addiction when it comes to diseases with using meth. The people, it's just a dirty world.
Brought to you by the Arizona Meth Project.
All right, thank you, and welcome back to the Streets Don't Love You Back show.
Okay.
We're here tonight with Rhonda Jackson, and listening to her story of change and conversion. And Rhonda, tell us a little bit more about how you were able to, as you turned your life back to God, how you were able to stay clean from drugs and alcohol, and tell us a little bit about that conversion.
Well, it's been 13 years. The only way that I was able to stay clean was when I recognized that God did it. In 1996, I went into a rehab program, and by maybe November of 1997, I was back out on the streets, okay? 6 months of that was in the rehab program, drug rehab program. And I just claimed the victory. I claimed it. I said, you know, I did this. I'm strong, and I'm the one that, you know, got myself off drugs. But I, you know, God showed me different. You know, no, you didn't. You know, I ended up back out on the streets. But when about 2 months or 3 months later, when I went back into the rehab program, I had decided that I was not going to look back and that I was going to give God all the glory for this. And that's exactly what I did. I depended solely on God for my recovery, and I've been clean ever since. You know, I got off of not just drugs, but alcohol and cigarettes. All three of those in the same day, March 28th, I never forget, of 1998,
wow.
You know, and haven't looked back since, been gainfully employed, never needed for anything, family ties with my children. You know, we are really, really tight. God brought me some wonderful friends, got involved in the ministry. Now I'm leader in the ministry, you know, part of the ministry, and You know, it was God. It was God's strength. It's just knowing that God was responsible and not me. I wasn't responsible for my recovery, but it was God responsible for me getting clean.
Right. That's an awesome story. What advice would you give other people who have maybe tried before? And just what advice would you give them?
To solely depend on God. It don't matter. You know, I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know the word of God. I just knew of God. I knew that there was a God. You know, I didn't know even the validity of Jesus Christ and how he saved the world. I didn't know that at the time. But I knew that there was a God up in heaven. And once I realized that there was a God up in heaven, you know, that cared for me, I decided that I was going to solely give my addiction over to him and don't worry about anything else. And it was a little rough around the edges, just a little bit when I got back into it in 1998. But after that, God delivered me so well that it got to the point where it was like, I have never even been on drugs. You know, I'm talking about as far as my desire. You know, I would never forget and don't even want to forget because I want to help people. If I forget, then I won't help people. But as far as the desire, all of that is gone, Lucinda. It's gone. But I had to depend solely on God. So that's what I want everybody to understand. God.
Right. And that's what it means by putting your life in God's hands and giving it to God. You know, let go and let God. It's all putting your life in God's hands, trusting that He's going to lead you in the right direction, and then doing God's will, doing, you know, what He wants you to do.
Exactly.
You know, He wants all of us to be happy and healthy, and He's here to help us to make those changes in our lives.
Right.
But it's up to us to definitely allow Him to do His work, because a lot of times we give it to Him and then we take it back. We don't have that complete trust in Him sometimes.
And once we give our lives over, then He starts leading us into His Word, and then you got a lot of people that grew up in the church and know about the Word of God and everything like that, and still fall. But that's because they are not giving their lives, over to God, totally over to God. They're reading the Word. They're going to church. They're playing church, but they're not giving their lives over. And in the process of that, the result of that is damnation, here on earth. We got to give it over to God, and that's how I did it. That's how I do everything nowadays. Well, I try to anyway. I still have problems.
We're not perfect. We're all human. Definitely not perfect. And we all have trials and struggles, and we always will. But we just have to continue with our faith and with God, and do the make the right decisions, and things will usually turn out the way they're supposed to be.
Exactly. Sometimes my faith might get a little weak. Sometimes something might come on me so strong, or heartache or whatever, and I say, "Oh God, the faith gets a little weak, but, I just always go and get into that Word, and, God reminds me, or something might happen, but God will remind me that I'm still here, So as long as I know that whatever I'm going through, God is going to bring me out of it, I'm okay. I'm okay with the pitfalls.
Right. Now, I wanted to talk to you about, you in your bio said that you had 4 children, 2 living adults and 2 deceased. What happened to the second child that is deceased?
Well, actually, she died first. She was 2 years old. She was born with heart disease.
Okay.
And, heart disease ran through her father's side of the family. When she was 2 years old, her blood vessel popped, and she couldn't get enough oxygen to the brain. And the way the medical examiners, the Wayne County medical examiners put it, was that she had a bad heart. She was born, they called it a congenital heart disease.
And
she lived healthy up to 2 years old. And it was a shock. It was a real shock. It was heartbreak. At that point in time, I was on drugs and stuff. And I didn't really notice it, but I know my daughter, she's my second oldest. She's 29 now. She told me that she had seen my drinking and drugging progress, and I wasn't paying any attention. Of course I wasn't. But she said she's seen it proliferate, after my daughter passed away. I could never talk about that until I got into rehab. I could never talk about her death. It would just tear me down. And then my son, he died second. He was 19. So both of my younger children passed away, and my 2 older children are still living. My daughter Katrina, the one that's 29, she lives in California with her 3 children, and my son Mark, he's the oldest. He's almost 30 years old, and he's definitely a youth advocate. He loves empowering and encouraging youth, because he had a battle in his younger years, with jails and alcohol and, crime, and things like that. Now he's on the straight and narrow. Perfect, wonderful guy to talk to. As a matter of fact, I had told him about your movement. He lives in Flat Rock. He doesn't really even live in Detroit anymore. He finds his peace out there in Flat Rock. So, he feels, every time he comes to Detroit, he feels that, it's like a temptation to him. So he stays away. And he's been doing pretty good for years, you know, so, you know, and he's a Christian as well, so.
Good. And does he have children, too?
Yes, he does. You know, he along with my daughter, both of them been married twice and divorced twice. Woo! And, you know, neither one of them is 30 yet. Yeah, I have six grandchildren, wonderful, wonderful grandchildren. But because my son's divorced and his wife, you know, I don't see them, but my daughter's children, you know, I see them, her three children. So, you know, I'm just thankful for them. You know, I, you know, didn't have anything to do with my son and his wife, you know, divorced, but you know how that goes. She blames me, and, you know, she, you know, thought I should have pushed my son back with her, and, I didn't want to get involved in that, you know, because I understood that some marriages are just not ordained by God. You know, a lot of people say, you know, all marriages are, but, you know, anytime you find a marriage where you do nothing but fight for 5 years, you know, that wasn't ordained, you know, by God. That was just something they did, you know, or something God brought temporary, you know, brought together temporary to bring in children in the world, I guess. I don't know. But my three children, grandchildren in California are the world to me. I love them to death, you know. So.
Right. And your other grandchildren, when they get old enough, they'll, I'm sure, want to, you know, have a relationship with you.
Yeah,
you know.
Of course. Hopefully their mom, you know, will have a change of heart. Because when I was close to them, you know, I mean, I was really close to them. Those children loved me. And then all of a sudden she took them away from me and it hurt. But, you know, I don't know. God, he tends to get me over anything, you know, everything. You know, he don't let me hurt for long. He rescues me, you know, but I do miss him. And I really want to see him. But, you know, everything is all in God's time.
Right.
Life goes on. I got other things I have to do. I cannot sit around hurting, just like my son's death. You know, my son, I know, is in heaven. So, and I'm glad he is. You know, since he's not here, I'm glad he's with God. But I have things to do, and I have other people to see, and I have a testimony to get out there. I can't sit back with a broken heart and doing nothing.
Was he involved in any of the street life, or was it just a random drive-by?
No, matter of fact, he wasn't involved. Adam was brought up in the suburbs. And then when he came back to the city, he came back to live with me when he was about 16. And I didn't want him to, but he wanted to. I didn't want my son going to Detroit schools. I really didn't, you know. And so he came back and lived with me, and he graduated from Northwestern High School. Everything was fine. And so what it was is he wanted his independence, and he moved in with two of his older cousins. And they lived in a house that his auntie owned. As a matter of fact, she lived right next door to them on his father's side, his auntie on his father's side, and over there by Northwestern High School. And in that neighborhood was full of gangs. And I know everything my son did that day, as a matter of fact, and I'm glad I did, because I would have thought that he was involved in some foolishness. But he was basically a decent kid. He was going to Oakland County Community College. He was working up here on 12th Mile and Coolidge, going to work every day. And he decided to take off work that day to go visit a friend in the hospital. He visited a friend. He went over to my sister's house. Once he left my sister's house, he went around the corner to his father's house, to stayed around the corner from my sister, visited him, and then went back over to my sister's house to visit with his girlfriend, to live in an apartment complex. And the grandmother of the girlfriend said they sat on the computer till about 9:30. He wasn't driving. He was catching the bus home. But he called a friend of his to come pick him up, but his friend said he was in the bed, and he had to go to work that morning. But he called my son back on the cell phone and said, I tell you what, I come and get you. I don't want you catching the bus. And my son said, no, I'm going to go ahead and catch the bus, because by the time you get up, I'll be at home. And I was at work that night. And my son was brought to Henry Ford Hospital, where he died about 11:30 at night. So there was a lady that seen him. she was driving by, and she seen some commotion between my son, like he was getting robbed by two men.
Okay.
And she said, next thing you know, she heard gunshots, and my son hit the ground, and the guys ran. And she said it was like about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Now, mind you, I was at work, and I haven't seen my son in 2 weeks, which wasn't, you know, it wasn't, you know, strange because we both worked afternoons. We had conflicting
right.
work schedules. So, but I know he was supposed to come over to my house the week before. And I know my son, you know, he always ended up calling me saying he always ended up with some girl taking her to the movies or whatever. And, but I called him on his cell phone, and it went straight to his voicemail. And that wasn't strange either because my son could never keep a decent phone. It always was broken. I always going to the voicemail, and I left him a message. But I didn't know at that time my son was on his way getting killed, or he was in the process, or he was already dead, you know, and I was at work. And on my way home from work, my mom called me. Because Henry Ford Hospital called her because her phone number was on his records there. And my mom worked there, and they knew my mom. And they said, oh, this is Sandra Terry's grandson, you know. And that's what happened. That was one of the worst nights of my life. You talk about 19 years worth of Adam. He was a good kid. His funeral was like the president had died or something because people just could not believe that my son had passed away. He got killed. Who would want to kill Adam? Where they're killing two-year-olds and they're killing one-year-olds and newborns and they're killing everybody, you know. But I'm going to tell you something, Miss Boyd. I look at it like this, you know, sometimes God does things to save other people. You know, when my son got killed, a lot of my family members got saved, you know, and that was the glory of it. That glory came out of that. A lot of them got saved because they just couldn't understand how my son, a person like my son, got killed. He wasn't a perfect kid, but my son wasn't a thug. He was. He never changed. He always had, I mean, he was a pleasant child, easy to get along with. And he was going to one of the roughest schools and made it through it without a fight. You know, he got along with everybody. But that day, you know, we don't know what happened. All we know is two guys shot my son down, and they think it was gang-related. They said there was a lot of gangs doing initiations, killing people for initiations.
Right.
Maybe it was that or something,
right.
You know. So we don't know what happened. Maybe it was somebody that my son got into it with, you know, before. We don't have no clue. Or who it could be. Maybe it was somebody he knew. Maybe it was somebody we know. But we don't know, you know. But whatever the case, I just hope that the two young men that killed my son, if anything, I hope that they end up getting saved out of this, you know. So, and people think it's strange when I say that.
and then if they're living the street life, you know, don't even know if they're alive, you know, or not now. Something
right.
could happen to them, too.
Exactly.
But,
they could be in jail for something else. We don't know because we don't have a clue
be hard,
right now.
Though. That's just, you know, you have to have a lot of faith, and I commend you for that. But it just seems like that's got to be hard not to know.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. But one of the things that I understand is that God got me on, you know, several missions. And what he did, he consoled my heart. So that I could be on these missions because, you know, when you're distraught and all messed up like that, you can't do what God wants you to do. You can't even hear from God like that, you know, but he prepared me and he's holding me up well. And now I can see the glory out of it when there was so many people that got saved after my son got killed, so many people in my family, so many people that we knew. And people think it's strange when I say that, but only you know, you got to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit to understand what I'm talking about. You know, if you don't have that relationship with God, what I'm saying to you is going to sound crazy. You know, but if God can use his only begotten son to save souls, then he can use anybody because one of the things that I wrote in the book, in my book, is that, you know, my son was his before he was mine. So he had every right to do what he wanted to do with it, you know.
Right.
I mean, I wish
well,
you was here.
I commend you for that. I mean, I don't know if I could, you know, if I could do it or not. Maybe I could, but,
you know,
going through that, it's just, it's just, you know, my deepest sympathies go out to you.
Right.
I just can't even imagine. You know, we do have a caller on the line, and we're going to give him the opportunity to ask you a question or give us a call. Nope, I guess they're not there anymore. I'm going to go ahead and give the mic over to Rob for a few minutes, then we'll wrap it up.
Okay. Thank you, Lucinda.
Yes, Ms. Jackson, I wanted to say it's been great having you on the show tonight. And, inbox us your mailing information, and we're going to send you some literature up there for you to put in your church, you know. And
Exactly. My job, too, you know.
Yeah, pass out at your job and get people involved with the movement as well. And my wife say, make sure you go to our movement page and join the movement, you know what I mean, when you get time, you know.
Okay,
yeah, join
as tomorrow. A that'll be no problem.
Yeah, join
is
as
it,
a member.
Okay, is it something
go
specific
back
on the page I have to do? Is it a certain site I have
to?
Just
go to the streetsdontloveyouback.ning.com, and it'll tell you to sign up.
Okay.
And when you sign up, you know, it'll tell you everything. Put your profile picture up and information, and that's where you can be involved with everything go on. And, Memphis sends out emails all the time to let all the members know what is going on at all times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
So at this moment, we're going to give you a chance to give your shout-outs to anyone you would like to give your shout-outs to, and then we're going to wrap it up.
Okay. And I definitely want to give my shout-out to all of my Facebook family. You know, they've been really supportive of me. Definitely my moms. I love her to death. She's just a wonderful woman, and my sisters. And I definitely want to give my shout-out to Lawrence Tech University, where I go to school and work. You know, I love where I go to school, and I love my job. It's more like a family there. And I definitely also want to give my shout-out to you, Rob, you and Lucinda. I mean, y'all are some wonderful people, and I appreciate y'all.
Hey, we thank you, for finding us on Facebook, you know.
Yes.
And another thing I wanted to say, too, Ms. Jackson, our internship information, you know, that you had emailed me about when we first started emailing. Our internship is for people that's going to school, that's going for marketing or promotions, you know, would like to get involved with things to that nature, you know, setting up events at different schools or different colleges, you know. So,
okay.
We're looking for the interns to jump on board with the Streets Don't Love You Back movement as well, you know.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
And we got a caller. They came back, so they might want to ask you something, Caller, you on the line.
Hello?
Yes, you there, caller?
Yep. This is Troy. This comedian Troy Coleman. I've been following y'all on Facebook, and I was just calling to listen to the story. I'm just calling to tell Rhonda I sympathize with you. I got a similar story, you know. Lost a lot of people. Yeah, man, I'm here in Michigan also.
Oh, okay. What part of Michigan are you from?
I'm from Detroit, Michigan on the east side.
Okay. Okay.
That's a horrible story, but you still standing on saying I've been through a lot myself, and I do comedy, so, you know, I transmit it, you know, and to making things funny, but like
right.
I've been through a lot. Yeah, I've been through like a whole lot.
Right.
You know, so.
But it sounds like you're doing pretty good yourself, and God is holding you up as well. So
I'm blessed, yeah.
You're blessed.
Just a living testimony. I'm a living testimony saying that you can make it through through all of this, and everything always gets better. If it's a rough road,
yes.
It's always going to be bright.
Right,
always.
Right, because we can't look in that rearview mirror. We got to look out that windshield, you know, because our best days
man.
Are ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are ahead
so
of
rough.
Us.
Mm-hmm. And I'm all alone myself. I just lost my kids. My girl ran away with them. But that's another story, though. But that was like the end for me. I'm like, well, maybe God is working on me. I don't know. You know what I mean? I've been through so much. And now, like, at the end, like, the mere end of my story, it's like my baby mother just ran off with the kids, and I ain't heard from them in 6 months. I'm like, is God working on me or what? So I just keep on pushing and keep praying.
Right. What's your name again?
Troy Coleman.
Troy,
you can look me up on Facebook.
Troy Coleman. Okay, is it comedian Troy Coleman?
Yes.
Okay. Troy, listen, the only way that we can grow is to go through things, and sometimes things don't seem, you know, it looks like it's just unfair. You know, why do I have to go through this? And, you know, my children are gone, and, you know, at least you can say this, at least you got a chance to see yours back here on earth. You know, my son
exactly.
is gone, and I'm going to see him when I get to heaven, but, you know,
exactly.
Lord knows, you know, I hope that happens. But, The bottom line is you know, we go through things to help us grow. Experience and what we learn from those experiences are the best teacher. And what, one of the things I put up on my Facebook page is that, you know, there's no losses. It's only lessons.
Exactly.
Okay. So let this definitely be a lesson to you. And whatever transpired to make that happen, just – go back and, you know, and see, you know, you know, see the part that you played in it. And once we admit our part that we played in it, you know, then God can start working on us and healing us. Okay.
Exactly. And
so,
that's the point. That's the point that I figured out now. I'm like, okay, I've figured out my part. It's amazing that you mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
I figured out my part, and I'm starting to see now. I'm like, because like a lot of people hate the world, be like, the devil doing this, and
mm-hmm.
God ain't listening. But I really realized after everything, you know, I'm not going to mention everything that I've been through, but I just had to go with the most recent just so you can understand. I'm like, okay, after all of this, I done lost both of my parents, everybody in the same year. It's been a crazy struggle. So now I realize now that it's God working on me.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
So I'm figuring out now, okay, I need to move forward with it now because all of the deaths was holding me back. You know, I've been to like 40 funerals and I'm only 39. And I've
wow.
been 40, like close funerals, yes, 40.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's something else right there.
So yeah, I'm definitely close. I'm close to my blessing. That's how I look at it.
You know, but you're still standing.
Yeah.
You know, and not just standing, because anybody can stand, but you're still standing, and you're still standing strong.
Exactly, and everybody couldn't go through this path. That's why
right.
I'm looking at myself. I'm like, I went through all of this, and I'm still sane. I ain't smoking crack, running the streets, acting crazy, and doing all this stuff. I'm like, I'm taking all of this, like really taking
right.
it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, so everything's going to be
now.
All right for you. You just keep holding on, keep holding your faith. And just, you know, and always, by all means, I tell everybody, I think the best therapy anybody can have is in that word of God because, you know, everything that you need to know about life, everything you're going through is right there in that book.
Mm-hmm.
Right there
Thank
in that book. You,
you
know,
it
right
really
there
is.
In that book.
Yeah,
but
I don't walk without it. I don't walk nowhere
right.
without the book.
Well, I'm an evangelist, Rhonda Jackson, so you can look me up on Facebook, add me as a friend if you want to tonight.
Okay.
That would be okay with me. I'm not going to get back on the Internet tonight, but if you get on there, I definitely will, you know, add you in the morning
okay.
when I get up and
okay.
get back
I
on
need
there.
Okay, I need all of the prayer I can get. I need it
and,
all.
You know, and connect with me, and let's talk.
Okay, I will.
And stand
will.
Together, okay?
Okay,
okay,
I appreciate
Troy.
You.
I appreciate
right.
you too. Okay,
right.
bye bye.
All right, all right. That was.
That was a great one right there, you know what I mean? Because
yes,
that right there is a each one teach one, and everybody's on one accord, you know? So that was real great that came to fruition where everyone can stay on that prayer path, you know, because we got to have prayer warriors out here, you know?
Exactly.
You know? So in the midst of all that, we're going to say, like we always do, everybody have a great time. We're glad everybody tuned in tonight to hear Ms. Jackson's story. And we're going to pass the mic over to the missus with our last announcements. And we just want to say, like we always say, the streets definitely don't love you back.
Exactly.
Well, Rhonda, I just want to thank you again for being a guest on our show. We learned a lot from you, and you're an example to us and to everyone. And, you know, you're welcome to get the show here on Facebook. We'll be putting it up here in a little bit. You can check it out tomorrow.
Okay.
And you can paste the radio show up on your Facebook site so that all your Facebook family can listen to the interview.
Okay. Sounds good.
And then you can all refer them to our site as well. You know, just go to the site and join as a member, as a friend. And you can post comments and different things on here as well. And we do have several people that we've met recently as well that have lost, their sons have been murdered, put it that way. One of our friends says they weren't lost, they were murdered. So we have to, you know, we have to remember that. They weren't lost, they were murdered. And, you know, and we know that, you know, a lot of times it helps to talk with other people that have gone through the same experiences. So we do have some good friends that we've met through this, through our website as well. And they've been guests on our show as well. And a couple of them are in Detroit, so we'll have to hook you guys up. We just want to remind everybody of our Christmas toy drive and winter jacket and warm clothes drive for the less fortunate and homeless this winter, especially during the holidays. We have a drop-off place in Cincinnati at Shinkanah Beauty Center, and in Maricopa, Arizona, we have several drop-off places. Just log on to our website at thestreetsdontloveyouback.com. You can get all the addresses and phone numbers and our address if you need to mail us something or you need to schedule a pickup in our area. So please be generous this year and donate something here for the homeless and for a child that may not get something otherwise. And we just want to remind everybody, join in every Wednesday night here at the Streets Don't Love You Back. And if you know anybody that has a story that would, you know, want to share their story with us here on the show, send us that information also. So we're going to go out we're going to go out with a song tonight, Rhonda, and we look forward to keeping in touch with you on Facebook and on our website, and hopefully we'll be able to meet you in person when we come out to Detroit to do a speaking here this next year.
Oh, that'll be wonderful. Wonderful.
Definitely, definitely. So keep us in mind and see if maybe we might be able to, you know, come by your church, youth group, or something like that and talk to them.
Thank you so much. I really thank y'all for inviting me on the show.
Thank you for sharing your story, and God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon. We're going to go out tonight with the song In Need of a Change, and we'll see you again next Wednesday night. Have a great week.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye. Yeah. LD.
You know, far too often, we look back in hindsight and wish, say, I wish I just had one more chance.
I realize that I'm still here. It's Sometimes these regrets won't let me forget that I done let down the best of my years. But you can see the drive in my eyes and the hint of surprise, because I haven't first come to see. And with my tears in the sky high, soak the sunshine, life is on the line with no place to see. As I'm in need of a change, maybe from the inside out. Let these troubles of strangers try to shut my mouth. I done seen a lot of things that I've never talked about. If I could do it all again, I never let them in my house. I done made some mistakes, apologize and reconcile. I done changed all my ways from what I was as a child. Stood on my mama, great rain pour down from the clouds. Dropped to my knees and prayed I'd have a reason to smile. Running around in these streets, chasing girls, thought I'd learn all the world had to teach. But one day I'll out of weight, realized I didn't know shit. And it hit me like a brick, wish I could do it all again. But I can't, and I ain't. Anyway, I read and rave, write my future like a book. As I turn another page, as the lights go down, I walk across the stage, rub the log full up. But more importantly, I pray that everything will be okay. And somehow I know it is. All I gotta do right now is get through this bullshit. Keep my chin to the sky, put my back against the wall. Fuck out, I will fight, scratch and claw. And still stand tall in the belly of the beast. Be afraid of nothing in this world. Got to be. Sometimes I still slip if I forget my sleep, but that's why I hit my knees soon as I leave the sheet. No more waiting. Life is not a game. Sometimes you might not get a second chance. Don't be jealous of others. Do for your damn self.